WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Rena Roy. The time to prepare is now, says Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, as Tropical Storm Idalia churns toward the Gulf Coast and could become a Cat 3 hurricane this week.
I think as we get into the late Tuesday, early Wednesday, it's going to start to get really nasty. And of course, they're anticipating a landfall sometime Wednesday morning, Wednesday afternoon.
Tampa's airport just announcing it'll close tonight at midnight. Life-threatening storm surge could be the major impact. Also in Florida, the deadly crash this morning of a Broward County Sheriff's fire and rescue helicopter. Two people killed, including the pilot, Captain Terryson Jackson, as the chopper went down in smoke, then slammed through the roof of an apartment building in Pompano Beach. The University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, still under a shelter-in-place order over reports of a potentially armed and dangerous person on or near campus. This is ABC News. President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden welcomed students back to school today in Washington. The president and the First Lady were at Elliott Hine Middle School and were welcomed by cheers and enthusiasm when they shook some students' hands. A wide-ranging survey of American kids finds cause for concern and reason to celebrate.
The sample size is huge. 130,000 kids from 9 to 18 years old of every race and economic background. The survey by the Boys and Girls Clubs of America found that 75% of American youth intend to go to college. But at the same time, 40% of those kids report being bullied at school in the past year.
Mexican food chain Chipotle will pay $322,000 to settle allegations it broke Washington, D.C. child labor laws. A district investigation found Chipotle workers under 18 years old worked after 10 p.m. and beyond the maximum hours and days per week allowed in the district. Rena Roy, ABC News.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The new Richmond Post Office has a new name after a special celebration this week. The city's post office has been renamed after two World War II veterans, Captain Robert C. Harmon and Private John R. Pearson. The veterans were half-brothers from New Richmond and both received the Purple Heart for their service in World War II. A plaque will be installed in the post office as well as the signed legislation and congressional record for the dedication to Captain Harmon and Private Pearson. Three Republican state representatives are proposing legislation aimed at bolstering the emergency services workforce, particularly in rural communities. State Representative Karen Hurd is proposing that 17-year-olds be allowed to work as part of the emergency medical services, which should help achieve adequate staffing and improve ambulance response times in rural communities. The bill would have safeguards to protect the 17-year-olds, including requiring parental consent, having a sponsor in the field, following child labor laws, and keeping up with school attendance. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And apparently, Maggie Dawn, Big Newton lover of the Maggie Dawn Show.
I was so offended, Jane. You know how much I love and admire you. You're like my freaking radio hero. And then to hear you bash my Newton.
It's still bad.
You want the cakey part cakey. You want the jammy part jammy. That is like bringing me back.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Monday. Good to be with you today. Matt and Patrick here. I got Greg Bakken joining us. Apparently, there's another Loch Ness Monster study in Scotland. And since he's our expert ghost monster alien guy, I'm going to have him on about 4:35 this afternoon. But speaking of real creatures of the night, Donald Trump. He's got more court dates, and things are not looking good for how things are going in the justice system for him. Kind enough to join us today to talk about all the latest happenings with his expanding court docket is, of course, Cliff Schechter. If you are not following Cliff Schechter and the Blue Amp channel on YouTube, you are just wrong. You need to make sure you get out there and follow that. That is, it's youtube.com/C Schechter. I'll link all that a little bit later on. Cliff, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. You know, I once went up there and did a trip across Scotland up north near where old Nessie hangs out up in Loch Ness. And I got to say, first of all, if Nessie exists, Nessie hasn't received nearly the number of indictments as Donald Trump. So there's that positive.
A much better person than Donald Trump is elected.
Much better human, if you will. I hung out there for a while. Great merch they had for you to buy, but I didn't see Nessie. So I'm doubtful. I'm doubtful on this. I'd like to see this new study myself. But otherwise, I'm doing well, and Donald Trump's not. So that's good.
It's a gorgeous place. If you've never been to Loch Ness, it's absolutely stunningly pretty.
Yeah.
And I actually got on a boat.
It's one of the most gorgeous places, I would say, that I've been. And I did a decent amount of traveling when I was doing some work for the State Department and some other places, and I've never. Well, no, I shouldn't say never, but rarely been anywhere as beautiful as Loch Ness. It's incredible.
It is gorgeous. I think that it was. I've got some theories on the monster, but we'll pass on that monster and get back to our own personal monster.
Yeah, we have enough monsters around us that sadly are all too real that we have to discuss.
Super Tuesday next year is on March 5th. The judge on Monday set March 4th. As the trial date for Donald Trump in his federal case in Washington, D.C., charging the former president with trying to overturn the results of the 2020 election. Now, this was the case he was trying to argue that he shouldn't have to go to court until 2026. And I take this as a sign of how well organized this case against him is by Jack Smith. Is basically the judge said, well, everything's laid out here. I don't know what you need such a long time to go over. You'll have plenty of time. You've got plenty of lawyers.
We'll give you all the way to March 4th.
Yeah,
do it now.
Exactly. So there's no urgency here, but it is kind of one of the things. It really was a smackdown on him saying, no, we're not going to allow this to go on out there. And definitely going to impact the election process next year.
Absolutely. Look, I mean, I believe in you know, I'm liberal, I'm progressive, call me what you will, but I have long said that democracy, you know, that's my religion, that's what I believe in the strongest, and that's what's most important. And, you know, if they're defending democracy, these judges, by making sure that Donald Trump can't hide behind the fact that he's running for president so that he doesn't go to jail, and make sure that he's treated like any other person, then they're making sure our democracy is put first. And, you know, if it hurts his presidential chances, oh, well, maybe he shouldn't have 91 criminal counts against him right now and still counting.
It is, one thing before we even get to this trial, we are in very uncharted waters. If you or I were under an indictment and talked about a judge or a prosecutor or witnesses the way that Donald Trump does, you and I would be in jail. That's not a question. They'd find us in contempt of court and we'd put us in jail, or at least put an extremely restrictive rules on us on this case. You have Trump. He's already out today attacking the judge in Washington, D.C. I don't know where you go with this, but I think that I don't think he's going to go to jail, but I could definitely see him saying, you need to stop talking publicly or else we will put you in jail. I can see that
but
coming.
But they've said that. That's the problem, is he won't. Donald Trump, he's not, I mean, I don't know what to put it. He's mentally ill. I mean, yes. I don't say that with any disrespect to people who have challenges and whatever. His mental illness in the way that he is, he's criminally mentally ill, and he can't control himself. He can't stop himself. He's obsessed with, if anybody does anything to him, it's his narcissism. He must hit back. He must. So, you know, I get exhausted by this stuff because they're good, you know, and there's plenty of other people, sadly, drawn like a moth to a flame to this Republican Party, from Marjorie Taylor Greene to George Santos. You know, you can find Roy Moore and any number of criminals and other people because they see in themselves this Republican Party. So in the end, the way people like that have to be treated is they have to pay a major price. They can't learn. They don't have decency. So they're not going to not do something because, oh, you know, they have any decency in them. And they're not going to not do something because somebody threatens them, because they've proven that the only thing that matters, the only thing that makes an impact, is when they actually pay a real legitimate price. He's been doing this with numerous judges. They keep telling him, you better stop. He keeps doing it. I mean, somebody honestly needs to throw him in jail over, at least overnight, and let him get a little taste of what that's like.
Well, or
and then maybe he'll stop. Maybe.
I don't.
Then try a week next.
Can I make the argument, and I understand what you're saying, and I agree with it, and I am not against holding this guy accountable. My biggest concern about something like that would be the match onto the gasoline pile, and that would be that things would start going really crazy in this country, that there is a lot of Republicans and right-wing Trump fans out there who are, you know, just, they're already screaming, civil war, civil war, civil war. And I think that if you actually said, you know what, you can't threaten a prosecutor, you can't threaten a judge, we've warned you 8 times, we're going to actually put you in jail for a night, in a country club jail still, you know, one of these places, or just on house arrest or something like that. I think I'm right. Very concerned at what would happen with his rabid followers who basically are looking for a reason to start shooting people.
Well, can I give my counter to that would be, you know, I'm concerned about this, of course, now, later, but eventually, if we want there to be justice, he has to be prosecuted. And it seems quite clear to me in numerous cases he's guilty. I know I'm stepping out on a limb there. So are we going to then not convict him because his people threaten and say if he's convicted, they'll go out and commit acts of violence? The problem is that we can't stop his people from going out and committing acts of violence, you know, unless we just say Trump could do whatever he wants, and then eventually they'll commit acts of violence anyhow when they have their next coup. You know, I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's a horrible situation to be in, but we can't, in my opinion, cannot treat him differently than other people because he has this group of thugs he threatens all of us with, because he's just going to always do that. He's going to do that about everything. And we do believe in eventually convicting him if he's found guilty. Right. Well, I'm sure the same thing. The minute a jury comes down and says he's guilty, you know, he'll be tweeting something out if he's not in handcuffs at that point, or somebody else will, that, you know, calling on his followers to, you know, it's rigged, it's left wingers trying to keep him from winning the presidency. Go out and show how you support Donald Trump. I mean, you know he's going to do that.
Yeah.
So that's why I won't bow to that kind of stuff, because it's going to happen anyhow. It's terrible and it's awful, but, you know, we've allowed 300 million guns to get out there in this country. We've ignored mental health systems and allowed people to join a cult. We've decided we have some extreme interpretation of the First Amendment, you know, that we're in other countries, the United Kingdom, Germany, places that have free speech, don't have, and don't allow you to terroristically threat and to, you know, threaten racial violence against people and all sorts of other things that we let people get away with in this country. And, you know, you put all that together and you have a very dangerous situation. And people are going to get hurt. I mean, it's just inevitable, mm-hmm. because we've allowed it to get to this point.
And the Republicans have enabled it.
Not prosecute him, you know, because of that.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. It's batting down the hatches when it does happen. The judge, Chutkan, she basically scolded his lawyer. He's to the point now where any legitimate lawyer doesn't want to work for Trump. And so what he's got is people who are either looking for a career in politics or a career in television. And, you know, he already tried to do his little Law and Order moment. This is the lawyer, John Lauro. he tried to make an argument that Jack Smith had violated his oath of office, and the judge basically smacked that down and said, no, you're not making speeches here. You've got to stick to facts. I'm not going to allow this to happen. So already on a bad foot with this judge, who basically just said, no, we're going to go ahead with this and get ready for Super Tuesday because it's going to be a Super Monday beforehand. I think that it is interesting to see that this is their strategy, that maybe this is almost an admission when I see him so reckless so early in this case, that they know they have no way out on it.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly think that that's a very good point here. But again, you know, we're going to have to deal with a whole lot of unprecedented situations going forward. And, you know, things that he is going to try to exploit, other Republicans are going to try to exploit. And I think in the end, you know, he's going to keep doing it with this group of clownish lawyers of his, as you're pointing out. I mean, who, you know, like, was it like 17 lawyers ago that he had a lawyer named Ty Cobb with a big ridiculous mustache?
Yes.
I mean, you thought you'd reached the point of parody there, and the guy apparently actually was related to Ty Cobb, but who would go around and refer to themselves? Like, would somebody go walk around and say, I'm Babe Ruth these days? In any case, that for another conversation. Point being, with some huge handlebar, ridiculous mustache, and that was like at least 15 lawyers ago. That was actually on the more respectable end. Like we're digging around the sewers at this point. So they're going to throw out every lie and every piece of garbage. I mean, you're right. These are not real lawyers at this point. These are people who, I mean, they had Jenna Ellis, who's been indicted, of course, as a lawyer. She's somebody who literally got fired from working in a county as not the head prosecutor of traffic violations, the assistant prosecutor. She wasn't doing a good enough job at that. So then she became a Trump lawyer. I mean, that's like, you know, and that was 50 lawyers ago. Like, we're literally at the point, I'm surprised he's finding humans. You know, what was that movie? Chud, Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dwellers. Remember that from the 80s?
I remember that.
He's not searching around the sewers for, like, you know, semi-humanoid creatures and other things to represent him, because there are any humans that still will is amazing. But you're right. Like, they're just hoping for some kind of a sweet gig on Fox or maybe they can run for office, exactly as you said, based on saying that, hey, I helped Donald Trump. But you know what else can happen to them? As Jenna Ellis learned, and Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell, they can go to prison.
Yes.
What can happen to them if they do everything Trump wants? So they may want to keep that in mind.
It reminds me, my guess is Trump is like, you've been in the South, and everywhere you go in the South are those billboards. And so I can see Trump, hello, I'm looking for the hammer. I need you to help me in court. If you go to the South, you know what I mean. The hawk, the hammer. There are all these personal injury lawyers, but billboards on the highway. That's where Trump's at this point.
He is, exactly. He's at, you know, and I hate saying this because I have an affectionate love for the series, but he's in Saul Goodman territory.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, he is.
I mean, you know, although I don't even know that if Saul would take this case, quite honestly. I think Saul would have a higher level of ethics than that, which is saying something. That's exactly where he is, right? He's like the what's the guy's name? Lionel Hutz in like The Simpsons. You know? I mean, that's the level of lawyering we've reached at this point. I mean, I can't believe that this clownish, pathetic, gauche, just disgusting, vicious, you know, cruel, stupid, I can go on forever, person was president of this country, and that we're still talking about him. And that we're still dealing with him being, you know, found guilty in a civil case and called a rapist by a judge. Those words were used. And now it's, you know, what, four indictments and a fifth superseding indictment and 91 counts. I mean, you know, how did we get to this place? And then still, you know, you look at these Republican primaries, like 60% of Republicans support him.
Yeah.
These are people that, like, would have been, you know, down with Jim Jones. you know, drinking the Kool-Aid.
The, you know, turning to the other, one of the other cases going on, the one down in Georgia, Mark Meadows right now is, was in court today, actually took the stand, and a lot of people are surprised by this because he basically threw Trump under the bus by saying, I was taking orders from Trump as the chief of staff. So, you know, that's the case. Trying to get this case out of Fulton County in Georgia and into the federal court system, they think they have a better chance there. He's got two real big problems with that. One is this wasn't the White House calling Georgia. This was the Trump campaign calling Georgia, which even the judge was like, well, why were you working with the Trump campaign? Isn't that not what your job duties are? And he tried to make an argument it was. Then came the question.
We don't believe in the Hatch Act. We violated that thing so many times. Yeah. I mean, there's another example, by the way, of what happens when you don't punish people breaking the law. But go ahead.
Well, the other thing that he got in trouble for was, you know, or at least kind of raised some eyebrows with, was when he knew he was on a call with lawyers who were not White House staff. When they asked him who else was on the call, he did the Marjorie Taylor Greene, I don't recall. Well, that's not going to help your case. Just you not recalling who was on the case doesn't mean those people are on the call. Doesn't mean those people weren't on the call. And so, I mean, as once again, and also the charges here are specific to Georgia under RICO law involving the Georgia election in the Georgia electoral votes and the vote count in Georgia. I would be shocked if this case ends up anywhere else but Fulton County.
I would too. I mean, again, I'm not a lawyer, but I don't, from what I've read, they don't seem to have any arguments. Throw something up against the wall. As you point out, he wasn't conducting official duties at the White House. It was the campaign. If anything, he was breaking a law in Washington on top of the law he was breaking in Georgia. And, you know, I mean, it's interesting what you point about them, you know, throwing Trump under the bus, because to me, the only thing I could think of here that made some sense, I mean, I guess they want to get it moved because they're scared that Fulton County has too many non-white people. You know? And they know that basically you have to be white and on top of that stupid to support Donald Trump. So that there may not be enough of those around Fulton County for them. But the only other reason I could think of is because, of course, the one key thing about this is if a Republican president, whether it were Trump or God help us, any of this other crew of clowns, DeSantis or, you know, Nikki Haley or Ramaswamy or whoever, you know, they could, if it's a federal case, they could pardon and they can issue pardons for the whole thing. State case, they cannot. They do not have that right in the Constitution. So it's as important as anything else to keep it a state case to ensure that they're not pardoned by a Republican president. Although, frankly, if there is another Republican president elected this election, we'll have much bigger problems.
Yes, I agree with you. And I think as well, it's just what they have done so much of, trying to shop for a more friendly jury. But once again, this is a state case. You can't basically, you know, rob a convenience store in Atlanta and then argue, well, I'm a federal employee, so this was under the federal thing. I have to go to federal court. They're not going to do that. That's not how it works. I mean, they had a case here in Minnesota where they had one of Biden's people at the airport with something, and he was, you know, they were trying to move it there, and it was, you know, obviously it's interesting jurisdiction, but he was trying to, the argument he was making, so I'm federal employee, this doesn't matter. Well, it kind of does, and you can't just, you know, use this as a crutch whenever you want to get out of something.
No, that is exactly right.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, that is obviously exactly right. Well, so, I mean, they will. Because they'll do anything. You know, these are people that have proven long ago that shame to be a foreign concept. So I expect them to try anything and everything to try to move. But your you know, metaphor there was exactly on. I mean, sorry, you were breaking the law. You know, you were calling the Secretary of State of Georgia and trying to break the law there. So. Good luck.
Do you have enough time for one more question? I know you got a little bit of time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. I've got time, you know, until at least till 4:30.
Beautiful.
Whenever you have to kick me off.
Oh, God, I'll keep you all the time if I could.
Well, you've got ads.
Those things, yes. All right. One thing that you and I have talked about with Trump, and this is why he's toxic for the Republican Party, is the money that he raises does not go to anyone else but Trump. And then most of the money doesn't even go to his campaign. It just goes to him paying off lawyers, stuff like that. off the mugshot.
The bail bondsman.
Yeah, exactly. He made $7 million, apparently, off of his mugshot. And there are some people who are like, well, you know, boy, that's a bad thing. The reality is I look at that and I cackle because, let's face it, you and I know who's sending him that money. That's not a people that have an endless pot of money to give to politics. So that $7 million, the vast majority of it, is off the table for the GOP come this election. And the more that Trump keeps going out there for this money grab, that's less money for the GOP nationwide to be using their campaigns next year. And I got to imagine that's going to create a huge problem for the Republicans.
Yeah, and he's doing that constantly, right? Yeah. I mean, $7 million for the mugshot, but I mean, $10 million here, $20 million, he's using anything he can. Anytime he gets indicted, he raises money off of that. And no, there's not. You're right. This isn't the big guys. This isn't the corrupt billionaires here. These are people who are giving, you know, small donations online, and Trump is grifting off of them and living his life off of them and ripping them off. And he'll keep doing it. And that's the thing. And that again, they made a deal with the devil a long time ago, and they had numerous chances to step off the train and sort of take some kind of beating at that time because Trump had obviously popularity in the Republican Party. But they just let him keep going and keep going and keep solidifying it more and more, keep turning it more and more into his party. Whatever they would have gone through in 2017, it was worse in 2019. It was worse in 2021. It's worse now, but they're such cowards. You know, even the ones who have a lot to say after they leave office when they could have done something, but didn't do a damn thing when they were there, you know. And, I mean, they've let it get to this point. So they can't stop. I mean, he's going to keep raising money from the people they need money from. He's going to keep running. My guess is that if somehow he weren't to get the Republican nomination, he would refuse to endorse any of the Republicans, right, and yeah. Say it should be him and take down the party with him. Which wonderful if he'd like to do that, you know, I'd like to be there to help him. but you know, that's the thing. It's always has been and always will be about him. He's not about the party. He was pro-choice in the past. He believed in like an assault weapons ban. He doesn't believe in any of this stuff. I mean, he's truly a racist, horrid human being. That part is true. But on political issues, there are no issues he cares about, except for that he doesn't have to pay taxes. And he, frankly, does that by breaking the law anyhow. There are rules that he should pay. So, again, they let this creature in, and they let him expand and expand and expand. And now, you know, they're all stuck. I mean, it's just pathetic even watching most of these guys who they're losing to a guy. And campaign 101 is if you're losing, you have to attack the person ahead of you and pointing out why you would be better. But instead, they keep attacking everybody that prosecutes Trump and whatever because they're scared to attack Trump. And so, again, the thought that they could ever win any of those voters when they refuse to attack the guy the voters are supporting, I mean, it makes no sense. Yeah. It's basic politics. You know what I mean? So, let them drown in it. They created this monster, and they chose to embolden him and enable him and support him after January 6th and all the other horrors he committed. You know, let them all go down with him.
Well, and I also think one thing you just said there, which is so spot on, is Trump is not going to send an endorsement to anyone else because that means his money goes to someone else. And at the end of the day, this has all been just one of the biggest grifts of all time. He has been about just taking as much money as he can, jamming it in his pockets. And right now, because he's caught on all this stuff, he's trying desperately to win just so he could pardon himself or try to at least legally pardon himself. But the reality is that that's... this is all he's right. about right now. I mean, it really, he doesn't want to help anyone else to get the money. So you're right. He's not going to help anyone else.
It's the money. It's the ego. Do you think he could accept somebody else leading the quote unquote MAGA movement and not being him anymore? He can't accept that. He'd rather see a Democrat win. Yep. You know, he will undermine all of these people. He will attack them as he's already doing with DeSantis, you know, and they earned it. By all the fealty they've paid to this horrid creature, they've earned every bit of it. Yep. So. Choke on it.
I'll give you a chance. Your Yankees are not doing great. No, they're not. Your Reds are kind of mediocre. They're kind of correcting the ship a little bit, and they still got a chance. But
yeah, there's still excitement there, man. Ellie De La Cruz is still in, and McClain, and some of these guys are incredible. It'll be interesting. I mean, look, they're still close to the Cubs. Were they a game out or something? They could win the wild card, and they're just that kind of team that they got hot. you know, in the playoffs, crazy stuff. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but they're, at least they're a lot of fun. The Yankees, you know, that's a longer show sometime about the failures of everything right up through the manager, general manager, owner, and what a pathetic organization it's become. But we can talk about that some other time.
Well, we had the Texans in town. You remember our Rangers, the Texas Rangers in town? And you remember when we were thinking it was going to be Rangers-Braves? That the Texas bullpen is falling apart so bad. They lost by walking in the winning run in the 13th inning yesterday. The guy couldn't hit the zone. It was Bob Uecker stuff. I think the Rangers are in big trouble. I don't think they're going to make the play.
They bolstered all these other areas that they are where they were already strong. You know, doing the trade, starting pitching, offense, those weren't problems. Nope. They need more bullpen help, and they don't seem to have gotten that. So you may be right about that. I can't stand the thought of Houston winning again. So, I mean, I'll root for Texas. I'll root for anybody as long as they stop Houston.
The Blue Amp YouTube channel, I got to get you out of here. Blue Amp YouTube channel, Cliff Schechter, youtube.com/C Schechter. I'll link to all this. If you're not following him on YouTube, you need to be. He's fantastic there. Cliff, my show is better when you're on it, man. I appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Well, I think I'm a better man when I'm on your show. And I don't know what that says because I'm not that, you know, whether I'm that great a man to begin with. But you know what? Seriously, you're awesome, and thank you for having me on.
My absolute pleasure. Cliff Schechter, let's take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. I love my Toyota vehicles, so when it's time for me to get my service done, there's only one place I go, Rudy Luther Toyota. They know Toyotas inside and out. It starts with them checking your alignment and tire treads with their Hunter Quick Check Drive Inspection Service. Oil changes, tires, batteries, wipers, no matter what you need done, they can help you with reliable Toyota parts and the best service team in Minnesota. Check out their website, RudyLutherToyota.com, for service and parts specials just for Toyota vehicles. Get your Toyota serviced at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
At Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, we have wood stoves that qualify for the new 30% income tax credit, a great opportunity to get an efficient stove and heat with renewable energy.
Right now, avoid supply chain delays, avoid the fall rush, avoid bad weather installation, and save money because we are now discounting the price on all chimney parts you need for installation for any of Woodland's new stoves and fireplaces.
We can help you with the stove and the chimney planning. Want to do it yourself? We will help you determine all the parts needed with our installation know-how. We have been installing wood stoves and fireplaces for over 45 years.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces has over 35 working wood, gas, and electric units on display at the corner of East Franklin and Riverside Avenue in Minneapolis. Save money. Take advantage of the spring and summer chimney discounts when you buy any fireplace product right now at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces.
When it comes to houses, disassembly is our game, deconstruction is our fame. There are some bucks for your project. Better Futures Minnesota is your contact.
Instead of demolishing your home, let us take it apart by hand, and we can find the building materials a new home. Limited funds are allotted in 2023 for Hennepin County residents and public entities to make deconstruction even more affordable. Check out BetterFuturesMinnesota.com. That's BetterFuturesMinnesota.com.
This is Angela Warner for Warner Stellion. Buying a big ticket item like an appliance doesn't have to be stressful. Don't waste time wandering the paint aisles looking for help or arranging your own delivery, installation, and haul away. Our appliance specialists coordinate everything for you and still guarantee unbeatable prices. Plus, during our famous Savings on a Stick State Fair sale, you'll save an extra up to 10% back. And that's just the start. Find out more at WarnerStellion.com.
This is Chad, owner of AM950, here to tell you about the exterior construction company I trust, Snap Construction. If your home was hit with the most recent storms, trust the most well-reviewed exterior construction company, Snap Construction, for a free home inspection.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. There are a lot of great construction companies in town. My advice is to take your time and do your research. Make sure they are locally owned and that they guarantee their craftsmanship for life. Also, you want to find a company that's been in business for at least 10 years. You want to work with a company that's going to be there long after the work is done. Snap Construction has handled thousands of claims, and we'll help you through the process.
Don't go with the out-of-town, fly-by-night contractor. Most storm damage goes missed by the untrained eye. Trust Snap Construction for your free storm damage evaluation. For your free storm damage evaluation, call Snap Construction at 612-333-SNAP or visit them online at snapconstruction.com. That's 612-333-SNAP or snapconstruction.com.
How does this sound? Doesn't this sound better? If you've decided to level your home and build new or to renovate, hire Better Futures Minnesota instead to take it apart by hand. Think before you scrap. Think of the energy and greenhouse gases saved when someone repurposes your old cabinets, fixtures, and lumber. Think of all the resources saved by diverting those building materials from the landfill. Better Futures Minnesota makes it happen for you. Hennepin County residents and public entities, funds are available to make the environmentally responsible alternative comparable to a typical demolition. For more information, check out BetterFuturesMinnesota.com. That's BetterFuturesMinnesota.com. Or call 612-351-8650. And don't forget to shop the Reuse Warehouse in Minneapolis.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Sunshine today with a high of 84, then tonight partly cloudy with a low of 62. Fill the hot summer nights with the hottest music in the Twin Cities at Crooner's Supper Club in Fridley. Crooner's is located just north of I-694 off Highway 65. View their schedules and food menus at croonersloungemn.com.
Billboard, baby, do a leap and make them dance when they come on. Everybody looking for a dance floor to run on.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. Once again, Cliff Schechter, outstanding. Greg Bakken coming up here a little bit later on in the 4 o'clock hour. Patrick, how was your weekend? Did I hear you correct and say you were at the state fair yesterday?
Yes, I was at the state fair yesterday. It was actually a very good time. Met up with Robert and his new producer, Haley, who I had not met. But unexpectedly, I met Ogama, who used to help out with Native Roots Radio. Had not ever met her in person, did not know she was there until I found out from Robert. So that was exciting because I had not met her in person.
Ogama is one of the absolute, she's first of all a fantastic news person. She is wonderful. And she's absolutely one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life. Ogama is, Gnuikwe is one of the just absolute gems I've ever met in this business. And I root for her all the time. So fantastic. And good on Pilot. If you want to see Robert, they set up at their usual spot there right off to the, right when you come in by the grandstand.
Yep. All you right. Just kind of loop in. It's, trying to think of what that, you go past the Blue Barn and you take a right past the, that Heritage Museum.
The Heritage Square. That's Heritage Square, I believe. That thing up there. So there you go. So you can go up there and find Robert, Pilot, and crew there. I'm going there Friday. What'd you have to eat? Would you try any of the new stuff?
I did try the new chicken dumplings that we talked about. You guys probably don't remember a few weeks back, but
I do.
There were these new chicken dumplings that's at the Midtown Market stall in the International Bazaar. They're only going to be there for a couple more days because they're splitting that space between two different. If you don't know what the Global Market is, it's a collection of different vendors. So you've got one vendor in there now, they're going to get swapped out for a different vendor from that group on Lake Street. So if you want to try those chicken dumplings, you got to get over there in the next couple days. But I thought they were pretty good. It was a sort of a South Asian style chicken dumpling with a tomato sauce. I thought it was pretty good.
If you're wondering where this is by the line in Google Stage, right?
Yeah.
It's right over there. I know exactly because the Union Kitchen's over there where they have those delicious sausages where I am stopping. I'm coming to get them, man. I'm coming to get you. That's happening on Friday for me. But you did like that. The chicken dumplings were tasty.
Yeah, otherwise I just kind of stuck with some old favorites. I didn't really venture too far into the new stuff, but I'm going to make a second trip, and I think there are going to be some different things I'll mix in.
All right. I'm going to do the fried green tomato sandwich. I'm going to do the pastry with sweet corn, which, come on, that almost looks like common sense. Those are both over at the Farmers Union booth. And then I'm going to, what I've decided is there is one that it's been mixed reviews. Some people have said it's one of the best things at the fair. Some people have said it's not. I'm going to try that Irish butter, burnt butter ice cream.
that they have that they put out there. Because I do love Irish butter, and it's wonderful. So, and it sounds healthy. I mean, it just does sound healthy when you think about it. Yum, yum. I'm going to try those. But, of course, I'm going to gorge myself with Prano Pups and Euros and everything else. It's just, it's what I do. It's what I, am I going to have fries? Yeah. Am I going to have fried pickle chips? Yeah. Am I going to take a nap? Probably somewhere on, I'm going to find a bench somewhere and I'm napping. I'm going to just look for me.
Definitely look for one in the shade if you can get one.
If you can get one. Did not, had a pretty good opening. More, the attendance every day has been more than last year. Fridays broke the record. That was the biggest first Friday at the fair ever. Saturday, I was hearing from people that it was insane how busy it was on Saturday, that it was packed to the gills. That wasn't the biggest Saturday. It was a dramatic increase over the amount of people at the fair, 212,000. It was about 10,000 short of the record for that day, the first Saturday. But, you know, obviously, yeah, we're back, baby. Yesterday was kind of a lighter day. Comparatively, still more than the year before, but, you know, not even kind of close to the record for that day. Well, it'd be interesting to see these days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday this week. These are usually some of the lighter days. We'll have to see how they go. Is it Senior Day? Senior's Day is over there on Tuesday, right? I think.
I couldn't say for sure.
I think it is. So usually that's a pretty busy day, too. So head out, enjoy yourself. If you find something good, let us know. You can always just email us at comet@am950radio.com. If you try something there. So I got a few things with kiddos. I've got to kind of clear up some stories here with the kiddos. First of all, was a story this morning that I posted, and I'm going to read to you the tweet as I wrote this and put this out there this morning, because I've had a few people ask me to kind of clarify a little bit, and I have no problem doing so. This is a story from Axios is saying tracking kindergarten vaccine exemptions in Minnesota. And I said, if my kid got a serious preventable illness from a sick kid in school who wasn't vaccinated and we accumulated thousands in hospital bills due to preventable illness, dang right I would want the unvaccinated kid's parents to pay for it. Now, I'll get back to that here because I want to elaborate a little bit more on that. But thousands of Minnesota kindergartners will likely enter school this fall without vaccines meant to protect themselves and their peers from illness. An estimated 3.7% of kindergartners across the state were granted exemptions or required vaccine to required vaccines as the school year ended in 2022, compared to 1.6 in 2012, said Alex Fitzpatrick in Kava Brigali's report. The vaccinations reduce the spread of childhood illnesses, some potentially fatal, that once plagued the country, such as polio. Studies have found an increased risk of infection from vaccine-preventable diseases amongst the exempt children. Some public health officials have expressed concern that heightened vaccine hesitancy costs post-COVID, combined with families falling behind on preventive care during the pandemic, could exacerbate the years-long uptake in kids skipping important shots. The overall percentage of six-year-olds who are up to date on recommended immunizations has also dropped slightly since 2019, from 72% to 71%, per data from the Minnesota Department of Health. The cohort's 89% vaccination rate for measles, mumps, and rubella is among the lowest in the nation, though. While the vast majority of kids do have their shots, a few percentage points can actually make a significant difference. Now, I'm gonna step back here and talk about this. It blows my mind that there are people out there right now that we live in a technology and chemical heavy world. For goodness sakes, we have forever chemicals showing up in everything. Bits of plastic are even in fish in the freaking Arctic at this point. You can't go into a lake that doesn't have some sort of chemicals in it. You can't go down, you can't breathe the air without breathing in some kind of smoke particulate or some pollutant particulate. You've got those things. And that's just the stuff that's the bad stuff. We have stuff that we use all the time. I mean, deodorant, toothpaste, hair gels. Stuff like this. None of this stuff has been used on human beings for an extended period of time, like 20, 30 years. Most of it, I shouldn't say, has. We're not sure what the long-term effects of some of this stuff is. So there's a lot of reasons why you could question why that some kids get sick and stuff like this and why there are some issues. But it seems to me a few people who just wanted to seem smarter than everyone else vilified vaccines. And if you want to understand the level of privilege we have today is that you don't understand. Go to a freaking cemetery from the 1890s. Go. Of the 14 kids the parents had, three of them survived past the age of 10. Go. My own family, my would be my great-great uncle, died of scarlet fever. He was a kid of the town doctor at that point. You go to the South, for goodness sakes, you go through some of those cemeteries and it's, you know, 3-year-old dead, 6-year-old dead, you know, died of pneumonia, died of flu, died of mumps and measles and chicken pox and smallpox and all sorts of freaking things. Kids just didn't survive. The reason why we had almost eradicated some of these things was because we all got vaccinated. Because there were still people running around that remembered what it was like to have classmates die of these diseases. But now, we're so much smarter than everyone else. And you get people that don't want to get vaccinated. Now, I don't have any problem with two groups of people. If for some reason you have a legitimate health problem where the kid can't get vaccinated, and there are some kids out there, I feel sorry for you. Obviously, you should not have to get forced, you know, there should be no forced vaccination on you in that case because it could kill you. Also, frankly, there are some actual legitimate religious sects who basically believe that vaccines are bad. Okay, no problem. Have no problem with either one of you. But by doing this, you create a standard which you are taking a risk. And my experience has been for the last 10 years, having raised three kids, has been there's this other group who just want to seem counterculture, or I read something on a blog online, and so they're trying to be avant-garde, and we're not going to get these. No, we're going to have measles parties, and every kid's going to get measles, and then we'll be immune forever. We've had cases. I remember a few years back, we had a case where someone with smallpox, I think it was, or chickenpox rather, chickenpox went to Disneyland in Los Angeles, intentionally. There are a lot of people that do understand if for whatever reason, whether it's a religious reason or a health reason, that if their kid can't be vaccinated, the safest thing for them is either to find a specialty school or to homeschool their kid. And, you know, all my best, good luck with all that. It's the selfish ones, the ones that don't want to get vaccinated because of their blog post reading, that basically say, I don't care, I'm going to put my kid in the public school system, so there. And what they don't seem to understand is, and their argument is, well, your kid's vaccinated, so my kid's fine. So they're basically banking on you being responsible so they can be irresponsible, which is not how vaccines work. There's a good, decent chance you won't get, you know, and with the MMR, mumps, measles, or rubella, you're not going to get that you know, vaccine. But if you have a kid who's a walking freaking petri dish going through the classroom, even with the vaccine, it doesn't mean you're not going to get it. And that's my point I was making with this story. If I was to have a kid and all of a sudden my kid's got mumps, how does my kid have mumps? And there was some self-righteous jackass of a parent who sat there and said, my kid's not vaccinated, and we went to a mumps party, and I didn't realize they had mumps, but there was a decent chance that they had them, so I took them to school anyway. So sorry your kid got sick, but vaccines are evil. And so here's my kid now sick with a disease that we almost had gotten rid of until stupid people started thinking, I'm smarter than them, all those doctors and scientists. Ugh, I have zero tolerance for this. And so what I think we should do is that if you want to be like this, that's fine. There comes a level of personal responsibility that you need to attain to. You need to basically follow. And that means that if you are not going to get vaccinated for the safety of your own kid, for the safety of your family, for the safety of everyone else, that you have to limit the amount of exposure your child has with other people. And if you knowingly took a kid who has a serious disease, a disease that used to kill thousands of people a year, that if your kid got sick with it, they would ship them off to a freaking hospital and you might see them again before they, if they didn't die, you knowingly send your kid to school with a disease and other kids get sick, I think the law should be that that parent then becomes responsible for the medical costs of their sick kid being around the other sick kids. And of course, these people who try to push this was like, well, you can't say for sure if we got it. It's pretty obvious if the kid with the mumps was running around the school and everyone else gets mumps, where the mumps came from. And frankly, I'll take my risk in civil court. And I'm dead serious. If that I ever found that out, that there was a parent who did not have their kid vaccinated, who knew their kid was sick with a serious disease, and they dropped him off at school because, heaven forbid, they can't go to work that day, or heaven forbid, they get their social media posting time infringed on, and subjected other people's kids to a serious disease that could possibly kill them, there should be charges against the person, let alone sue them into the freaking Stone Age. If that's how they feel about vaccines, we'll take you back to the time before you even knew what they were. Because I'll tell you what, you want to have that personal choice? Fine. But then understand that you are making a personal choice. Don't expect the rest of us to pick up the slack for you. Lead by example. That's what I was saying when I said that. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Craziness up in Brainerd with a book. I'll get to that here in a second. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hey, it's Patrick for Zero Res, my cleaning heroes. Did you know as many as 1 in 5 Americans suffer from allergies caused by particles found in the air in your home? If you or anyone in your family suffers from allergies or asthma, or you just want cleaner, healthier air, Zero Res can help with their air duct and dryer vent cleaning service. The Zero Res 12-step professional source removal process guarantees your home will be clean to the highest standards. Not only will an air duct cleaning help this allergy season, but you will enjoy less dust, lower energy bills, and your home will stay cleaner longer. It's back to school time, so there's no better time for a fresh start than right now. And that's why Zero Res is taking $100 off air duct cleaning services through the rest of August. Call 952-ZERO-RES or go to ZeroResMinnesota.com right now and ask for the AM 950 special. Spell it backward or forwards, it's the same. Zero Res.
This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, weekdays at 5 p.m. On our show, you'll hear about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. Weekly correspondents like Dr. Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake update us with the latest news from Turtle Island. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. Listen weekdays at 5 p.m. or watch the show on Native Roots Radio social media accounts. Ho-wah!
The place for summer fun is the Park Tavern. Live music is taking over the Park Tavern's dog-friendly patio this summer. Head over on Tuesday, August 29th for the Gut Buckets. Wednesday, August 30th, it's Annalise L. And on Thursday, August 31st, it's Carl Davis. Music runs from 5:30 to 8 p.m. and reservations for groups of 8 or more are highly recommended. And the Park Tavern offers private and semi-private spaces for small and large groups with no room fees and no minimum spending requirements. On Louisiana Avenue north of Highway 7 in St. Louis Park, get your summer groove on at the Park Tavern.
Like I said, you want to have that choice? Fine. Then live with the consequences of that choice. Isn't that exactly what we want with COVID? Is that, I don't want to get vaccinated. I don't wear a mask. Okay, well, then stay home. Well, no, I got to go have my chicken wings at the bar. Why do the rest of us have to be suffering because you're stupid? I don't understand that. And it was this is how selfish of a society we've gotten. is that we have too many people that just don't care about what's going on out there. And that's unfortunate. Between that and the self-righteous judgment, since June, Brainerd community members have been highlighting excerpts from a book allegedly available in the middle school library from a former challenge, and a formal challenge is underway for Empire of Storms by Sarah Maas. Members of the Brainerd School District Committee are reading a fantasy novel about a teenage assassin ahead of September's meeting to determine its fate in the school library. The ad hoc committee met Friday, August 18th, in the first time to learn more about its objective, reviewing a book some parents believe should not have no place in a school library. Community members are in support of the challenge, said, and by the way, okay, it's Empire of Storms by Sarah Maas. Empire of, if you're looking for it yourself, I mean, where you can find it, I mean, I imagine it's available at all good book services and the public library. So, Empire of Storms by Sarah J. Maas. That's the book they're condemning. There you go. The ad hoc committee met. Their base community members in support of the challenge said they're appalled, I said, by certain excerpts of Empire of Storms, charging that these sexual scenes depicted are too graphic for young readers. The excerpts from the material, which they, and by the way, every one of these kids probably watches Euphoria. All right, I'm just going to say it. Let's just call it what it is. Do they, okay, when I hear this, it's to a point, the stupidity of focusing on one thing, it's, I don't know what you're doing. Do they have a phone? Do you know what's online? Lots and lots of porn. I mean, there is tons of porn on this. Everywhere you go. Well, there's some right now. Impressive. I didn't know people could do that. And if you think, well, the kids aren't looking at that. Yeah. That's why they have Snapchat. For God's sakes. And I joke about, you know, I kind of said a joke about Euphoria, but I guarantee you if they're in junior high, they're watching Euphoria. And if you watch Euphoria, you know, you can easily just tell your kid, hey, don't get this book from the library, and scene. But the fact that all of a sudden you're out, you act as if your kids aren't subjected to this stuff everywhere. And I get it. Oh, well, I'm going to get this under control by going after one book. A book they'll probably be able to get in their public library? The excerpts from the book are horrible, they say. The complaint by Shirley Yeager, a retired school librarian, shame on her, by the way, charges the book is available at the Foster View Middle School, but the Brainerd Dispatch reported Empire Storms was only available at the Brainerd High School Library. Still, so basically, they've made up a reality that this book is available at this middle school. And, well, no, it's actually only available at the high school. But still, what is your problem, you uptight twits? Still, the challenge remains to remove the title from the Brainerd School, from all Brainerd School libraries. How dare you read books? Oh, when was the last time we had people screaming about book burnings? Okay. I think these books are attempting to normalize what I call rough sex. Wow. Hey, Shirley, if you want to see some rough sex, let me find tons of websites for you here. I mean, if you just type it into a search engine, and boy, oh, boy. Now, I would advise you, never mind. I personally don't believe the children should think drawing blood on your partner is a normal part of sexual intercourse. I could agree, but at the same time, once again, what have you seen what your kids are looking at, what the kids are looking at online? The author of these books, Sarah Maas, has at least 11 different titles in the Forest View Library, said the Yeager Board of Brainerd School Board's meeting. Empire Storms is rated for ages 14 and up by the Children's Book Review, but Maas's titles have been challenged before the American Library Association placed a court of mist and fury at number 10 on the most challenged books in the 2022 list. Other challenge books have surfaced for materials of the Brainerd School District since a July vote to uphold the district's current book review policy. There are some parents that are kind of, speaking out about this. community members brought Empire of Storms and other titles believed unavailable at the Forest View Middle School to the board's attention in June with a lengthy public comment period during the July board meeting. But once again, they aren't available in the middle school. So why this didn't end at that point, I don't know. I frankly believe the topic is a complete waste of your time. There's already a process in place to keep mature books out of kids' hands, said Jessica Malladay, a parent of the Brainerd School students and former teacher. Honestly, if our true motivation here is caring about children, then we would be focusing on the approximately 50% of the kids in the district who are not proficient in reading. Hence, they can't read the mature book, she said at the July meeting. Heaven forbid you deal with that. No, the fact that half the kids in the school district couldn't read the book if they even could get it is not the problem. It's the fact that the book is available, well, not in the school we say it is, but still. Yeah, a joke. Hour two up next.
Outfront Minnesota is the state's largest LGBTQ plus advocacy organization, and they're celebrating our state's accomplishments protecting our LGBTQ plus neighbors. This is especially important as surrounding states are passing legislation targeting our trans community. But here in Minnesota, we made it clear, you belong here. Minnesota's LGBTQ plus rights have taken a significant step forward with the conversion therapy ban and the Trans Refuge Bill, helping reshape the national discourse. The trailblazers who once championed same-sex marriage a decade ago continue propelling Minnesota towards an even brighter future. To celebrate these accomplishments, Outfront Minnesota is hosting their annual gala, where we bring in together more than 700 guests at Allianz Field on Thursday, September 14th. The event celebrates a year of legislative wins while honoring diverse communities propelling Minnesota forward into next year. Again, that's Thursday, September 14th at Allianz Field with a dinner at 6.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.